All right, welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host Mike, along with Chuck here.
What's up, Mikey boy?
Not much, man. You doing all right?
I'm doing good. A little tired.
Yeah, you were on
I
the
just flew in last night, and boy, are my arms tired.
road longer. Went full albatross all the way back from Chicago.
Yeah, it's got cold and time to migrate to the south.
Well,
But
how yeah, was it pretty cold in Chicago while you were there? I know you were at the Bears game.
Fortunately, a friend of mine passed away a few months ago, and they had a memorial service for him Saturday up in Ingleside, Illinois, which was about an hour and a half train ride from Chicago. So I was up there with a bunch of college buddies, college soccer player friends from my time, long time ago, and then went out, did that whole thing Saturday night, and then Sunday decided to push the flight back to 8 p.m. and go to the Bears game, which was great. It's open air football. It's a different experience. Now, it was cold as hell all weekend. Even though, like, I think at the game it said it was like 50, but it was overcast and windy,
Oh, yeah.
and so I don't even know what the field feels like temp was. But I had on like ski pants that I bought for a trip to Nashville, like in January when it was like 6 degrees, and then a bunch of layers and a hat and gloves. Still cold, so. But great, exciting game. Bears lost, of course, but
Shocker.
had a nice comeback. Score a touchdown. I think we were down like 11 with like 2 minutes left. Score a touchdown, onside kick. Kept them to like 30-yard pass to get them in field goal range, and they kicked a field goal to tie it. And then, of course, it's crazy. The place was nuts. Like, the atmosphere was insane. Then they get the ball to start, and like, I think first down, like a run for no gain. Second down, like, Vikings are rushing three, and Caleb Williams like takes like a 15-yard sack or something, or like a 10. Like, then it was like 3rd and 20,
Brutal.
and then Vikings come down and like, oh yeah, and then the Vikings win their possession. It was like false start, so they started 1st and 20, and then they got like a 15-yard gain, then a first down, and then they had like a 3rd and 10, got a first down, and I mean, they're just, the Bears defense was not as good as they would normally be, I guess, but it was fun. It was a good game, good to see friends, and so it was like overtime hockey game and overtime football game in the
Yeah.
last couple of weeks. So
Sick.
Chicago's such a great city, man.
I love
We
it.
went to
I love Chicago.
friends I was there with that are from Council Bluffs, Iowa. One of their friends has a karaoke bar. I think it's in Logan Square or Lincoln Park. It was a blurry night, but it's called Angie's Place, and it's like all karaoke, and it's open on Saturdays and Sunday, or Friday and Saturday nights in Chicago. The bars can stay open until 5 a.m. Like, his place is open from like, it's like 10 p.m., 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. like on the
That's the most
weekends.
Chicago thing ever.
It's insane. Like, I mean, we left, me and one of my buddies left at 1, and our friends stayed out till 5 there. But give Angie's Place a shout out, because that, if you're up there, is a great place to go.
Nice.
Just a bunch, and actually some pretty good singers, and some awful singers, but it's like for karaoke, so they it's a small space, but it stays packed, and it's a pretty popular spot.
Nice.
But I mean, you've been to Chicago a bunch. It's all about the neighborhoods and the little neighborhood places, and like, there's so many distinct pockets of Chicago.
That's one thing like about that big city. Like, you know, Houston has like different areas, but like Chicago and New York, they each have like the boroughs or the, you know, the bubbles, all that. I love that stuff, dude.
Yeah, I mean, we walked, we took the train, we took an Uber to one place.
I
Like,
saw the rat
even going.
on the rail line on your Snapchat
Oh, you saw what? Oh, the.
feed.
Yeah.
The
I was like, wait, we're in New York? Fucking rat running around the subway? We also, it's funny, we were on the way to the train to go to, we were staying in like in River North, and we're walking. There's Clarkin Lake to get on the blue line back to O'Hare with my buddy Bot. And I'm like, hey, you know, this is the first time in Chicago I haven't seen anybody like overdose or any weirdo come up and talk to me. And then like 3 minutes later on the way to the train, this guy like gets in front of us like, and wait, huh? Like he was all fucked up on something. And we're like, all right, cool. And then he would
Have
like
a good
walk
time,
really fast
buddy.
in front of us. He'd walk really fast in front of us, and he'd turn around and be like, and then walk back towards us and go, like, and we're like, okay,
Jesus.
yeah, it was.
It's big city living, baby.
I said, Bot, I think he asked for our wallets, but I couldn't understand him.
It
I
was the
kept looking
most
at his
polite holdup
hands.
ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I kept looking at his hands because like he would put them in his pockets, and I'm like waiting for like a knife. But the dude was
Yeah.
so tweaked out, like he didn't know what was going on.
Jesus.
Because like a couple Chicago trips ago, there was like ambulance, giving somebody Narcan like in like on the bus stop, and
Holy
you
smoke.
know, so yeah, big city, but a great city. I really love Chicago. It's cold though.
Yeah.
I'd love to live up there in the summer for a little bit.
Same. Totally.
But
Yeah.
yeah, how was your weekend?
Not bad, not bad, yeah. I just worked at my parents' house over the weekend and today, we're recording this on Monday. Mom's having a hip replacement today and
Oh, how's she doing?
keeping it light. She's out of surgery, she's good. She's recovering, so nothing crazy there. I'll just keep checking. Rangers tied it up. We got the Rangers game on at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, prayers for a speedy recovery for Mama Corio.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah. And
My mom's had two knees and a shoulder.
yeah.
So.
And then yeah, just recovering from a horrible football weekend. Texans lost. A&M lost. Fucking losers. And Alabama lost. It was a horrible, horrible weekend. Like I was telling my parents, like the next, all I needed was just the Texans to get drug out to the 50-yard line and just shot on live TV, and then that just complete the trifecta of a horrible weekend.
Oh yeah, no. I kept checking the Texans game at the Bears game, and I'm like, what the hell? How are they? Like, they went up 7-0. I'm like, that's gonna be a blowout. And then I saw them like about to tie it with a couple of minutes left or
Yeah.
something, and they were like at the 10. And I'm like, okay. And I went back, and they had the ball thrown one down three, and then I saw later Fairbairn missed 26-yard field goal or something. So yeah, and then. The A&M game pissed me off, like just because I put when A&M was down, I put like $10 on them at like plus like 300 or something,
Oh, hell yeah.
and they came back and took the lead, and I'm like, oh hell yeah, and my cash out thing on DraftKings was like $15 or 20, and I'm like, all right. No, I'm not gonna take it. They're gonna hang on, and then went to overtime, and then I lost, dude. I went up to like $50 this time. I lost like all 10 bets that I placed.
Oof.
I can't remember. I think I put like $5 on Manchester United to win six, or Man City
Oh.
to win like $6, and they lost 4-0 because I needed a win. And then Sunday, I put, we're watching, before we went to the Bears game, Man United and Ipswich, and Man United scored, we'll go up 1-0, and then Ipswich tied it, and then like with 60 minutes gone, I think it was like Man United was like plus 120 or something. I put like I'm gonna put $15 on it. They're gonna score a goal and win. Like, new coach bump, and of course they didn't. And like, so I literally lost every. I placed probably 10 to 15 bets this weekend. Lost every one of them. Every
Oh
one of them.
shit.
Not even one. So
It's
it's
hot
just it's.
garbage.
Yeah. I had one with like, I think it was like Joe Mixon, Brian Robinson from the Redskins, and another like running back who usually scores like one touchdown a game at least. Like just and there was like plus 285 like parlay. It was a very low parlay. None of them scored a touchdown. Like none of them. Like and I'm like, this is it. I'm like
Got hosed.
yeah. So I guess should have bet against Man City, but
Yeah, I don't know
anyway,
what's going on there. That's pretty bad. They're in a slump.
I'm glad I'm out of Chicago and not gambling.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad we don't have gambling in Texas now.
That's the only thing keeping me alive is that we don't have it here. Because I'd be
Yeah.
doing like next pitch like bets on baseball. Like next one's gonna be a ball. I'm feeling it. Like yeah, a total degenerate. Yeah.
My favorite thing that I've never won at that I play every time is I pick a hockey game and do first goal score.
Nice.
And it's like always somebody that the first goal score is like some like third line defenseman. Like it's never any,
No.
it's not like, I think like I did one Rangers game and it was like, I didn't do, like I picked Chris Kreider or Peran.
Yeah.
Arnie P and
Red man.
like nothing, and then or I'll pick like Ovechkin or like, and then like
It's always a nobody. Yeah.
Mongoloid Slavisky, like fourth line center, scores the first goal. I don't know,
It's crazy, dude. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
but. So I did get to watch some TV while I was traveling. So, of course, I watched Interstellar on the way up there
Of
on the
course.
United. Fantastic, of course. And then Silo,
Yeah,
which we're going
episode
to talk
three.
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk Silo, and then we can do our holiday movie list
Yeah.
after that. So,
You haven't watched Shrinking yet, have you?
no.
You got to get on that. I'm three episodes in, and it may be better than the first season, man. It's pretty good.
All right, I gotta get on that.
Yeah.
I did watch I Love You Man partly on
Oh, I
the
love
on the
that
plane.
movie.
Yeah, Jason Segel.
That's what got me into Rush. That's such a great movie. I love it.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Great band. Second best Canadian behind Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
So
Silo, it's in the second season. Still technically somewhat in the first book. The first episode, we've only seen Steve Zahn for like 3 seconds, 5 seconds maybe, with his character peeking out from the vault. But the second episode, I thought it was kind of slow. There is build up, right? They have to build this thing up, and it's all about them trying to maintain the embers of war, right? Because now that Juliet's made it out of the crater, now everybody knows that they're lying or lying to some degree, and everybody wants the truth and they want to go to war for it and have another, they think it's time for another rebellion. And Bernard and IT is like doing everything he can to keep it from happening. I thought it was kind of slow, but I know where it's going from reading the book. But because you didn't really see Juliet all that much in this episode, right?
You didn't see her at all, yeah.
At all. Yeah.
So, yeah, the first episode was just Juliet on her adventure outside and over the hill and into the other side through the sea of
Yeah.
dead patriots storming the outside from the other silo, and her getting in the silo, the other silo, and then coming across Steve Zahn at the end, or his character, which we don't know anything about, assuming that he's a little boy in the first episode flashback, but yet to be confirmed. And then this episode focused on strictly the silo she left behind and the fallout from her going over the hill. None of them have seen that in their lifetime. And so, you said the, the down below folks are basically wanting to carry out the rebellion. And, I think they believe that Juliet's alive and that it's safe to go outside.
Yeah, nobody inside knows if she's alive still or not. Like, she just went over the hill and she could be dead. They don't know.
Well, that's kind of what the message Tim Robbins, who does a good job in this episode, portrays of, like, he tells everybody that she's dead, that they just go back a little bit before I jump way ahead in the episode. But basically, Juliet got the tape from Walker and the other lady. The heat tape, which they taped her up with, which helped her survive for as long as she did. Which I don't know, they sprinkle some dust on the duct tape. I
Yeah,
don't
it
know
just
what
doesn't
makes it heat
deteriorate
tape.
as fast. Yeah, I mean, it's starting to deteriorate, but I mean, it gave her enough time that she pretty much ran out of oxygen right at the right time.
Yeah, there's only, we learned there's only so much oxygen in the suit. And so, it's hard to tell. I mean, who thinks what if she's alive or dead? Walker seems to think she's dead because she couldn't have survived that long with the oxygen, but that she gave her a chance with the tape. Some of the other folks, I think that she's alive because they don't know a lot of the ins and outs. And then, in order to kind of, they go through, and Tim Robbins orders like judicial to be over the local police. It's never been, there's always been kind of like, it's kind of a little, some parallels to political discourse and democracy. And, like you have the branches in here are judicial, IT, and the local,
It's, yeah, they
police
get
officers, right?
the clear
So,
separation of the branch, church and state, right? Of the branches, right? Usually they don't overlap, but now they're starting to, right? They're consolidating power.
And so basically, Commons' character becomes in charge of the local police, and they put a big presence in. But Tim Robbins' character is, comes out with a speech, turns it around and like that she's a hero and she died a hero, and they discovered this new form, this new tape that IT's been developing. And so it's got people energized now, and but there's still a rebellion brewing because, Juliet's folks know that it wasn't IT, that it was the supply, mechanic, I think, supply. Or supply and mechanical. Some of them know, the truth behind what's going on. But and then we see the head of judicial, which did we see her in the first season? We didn't see her much.
I think late into the first season, yeah.
But we see her, and a lot of time with her in this episode. She's kind of been out of the picture, learned that she's a drunk. And gives up drinking, and she has some kind of relationship in the past when Tim Robbins' character worked in judicial as well. Or she worked in IT and then went to judicial.
She
So,
was his shadow. So she would have taken over for Tim Robbins whenever he retired.
So, what do you think? Do you think she saw something as a shadow that she wanted to get out of there? I guess, well,
Yeah.
I
It's
think that,
different. It's different than the books, at least her character. There's some things that are different in here. Because I think she sees something through shadowing that she can't quite cope with. Especially for Bernard's shadow, they have to be able to clearly knows some shit that other people don't and be able to make decisions that other people don't. It's just like he said, Common was his other shadow after her, but because he chose to protect his family over the silo, he's no longer his shadow, right? So you have to put the silo first. So yeah, I think she either made a choice or she saw something and she was like, I want nothing more to do with it. I'll keep my mouth shut, right? Whatever. And now she's the head of judiciary. Yeah.
And then the episode ends with her saying, telling Tim Robbins she wants to go outside.
Yes. Yes.
So I mean, it was interesting to see that, he was trying to kind of bribe and blackmail her to support him. And basically she felt like she was the Wizard of Oz
Yeah.
and she wanted to leave in a hot air balloon. And but at the end, she basically, like, her hot air balloon is the teat tape and freeing herself from being in the silo. I imagine one would go kind of crazy, if you're in that environment. And
Oh,
that's, you know.
and know that there's an outside, right? And that
Yeah.
you can somewhat go outside. Because they've had this heat tape, right? They don't
Yeah.
use it for the people who go outside because they are a sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the sacrifice or the blood sacrifice to keep the people in line, or the to keep the control. And I think that's what's interesting about kind of the change that Tim Rom's character does, and basically says Juliet's a hero, she made it over the hill, but she's dead, and she pioneered, she volunteered to go to test this tape. And then it gives people hope and keeps them from trying to overthrow everything, but saying like, hey, well, there's something. And do you think this has happened in the past of the silos, or is this kind of like, I wonder what it's like in the other silos. We know in the other silo, people ran out without any kind of protection, and I'm assuming like just started to burn
Bloodbath.
up.
Yeah, we saw in the other silo that they were like, storm the Capitol, and they all ran outside and like obviously like drop dead and like the dude with the flag. And I think one thing that they're gonna indicate, right, because I remember the sheriff saying this while they're like getting ready to go outside, is like he said something like, I don't understand why he wouldn't open the door. And I think his wife was like, they told him not to. I think that's the guy that's in the vault is his other son. So like him, his wife, and like their youngest, like made a break for it. But the dude in the vault, like, is their other son? And he was probably IT shadow, like to take over. But then it all went like tits up, right? But it's never happened to this silo that they know of, right? Because that's what Tim Robbins said is they've never had somebody go over the hill. But it is the first time that we actually get to see the order, which is like the rules for running the silo in the book. So like Tim Robbins like flips it open and he's like reading it. Like that's a pretty big thing in the second book that I read, and it's pretty amazing. But so it's the first time we get to see it. But I love that he's like the only one that's got like, if there was a Super Bowl, that's where I'd be wanting to watch the Super Bowl because he's watching like her like go to the other silo on this like gigantic screen, and I'm like, how do I get that? Like, it's people going outside and they die. It's just enough stick and just enough carrot to keep people inside the silo. Yeah, you're gonna have somebody who wants to go outside, right? But that's to the benefit of control, right? So.
Exactly. So it'd be interesting to see where it goes, because I mean, you've seen the books and such, and have you read all the books?
Two out of three. Two out of
Or
three. I think it's funny how it seemed like, behind that sign where you went down to the machine where it was like, where they were digging the silos and all that stuff, they made it seem like that was like Juliet and that other guy's like they were the only ones that knew about it. And then like after the rebellion starts, like everybody's hanging out in that hallway. And then Walker's like, "Hey, what are you guys doing in here?" And it's like, "Does everybody know about this like place? Like, why aren't we all like hiding out in here?" I didn't know. Bernard's lucky they don't have a voice. They have nobody yet with, with control over the resistance. There was the guy that was the head of mechanical, but then that chick turned on him by telling everybody like he turned Juliet in. And Walker is hesitant to lead the rebellion because I think she knows what's like they're all gonna die. Like they have guns and IT and all that stuff. So it's working out in Bernard's favor so far, but somebody's gonna be a voice and is gonna start to lead them, and that's when it's gonna suck. Because then they're gonna go to war.
And then, I mean, it's, I think, Walker said in this episode that the only, or I can't remember her name, but the other lady was very vocal, was, what if we get, some of them to change their minds?
Well, yeah, not everybody's got to agree with Bernard, and it's like, good luck with that.
Well, and that's what I imagine. I mean, like, the rebellion of the other silo with those people getting out, right? So did they, like, history repeats itself. Did they get to that point where they convinced enough people to turn the favor, in their side, and then
How bad
all
was
you have
that?
left is IT bunkered in?
Right. Because they had the ramp and they were like storming IT and where Juliet was trying to cross over 15 feet above water but freaking out about it. I like the dynamic that they brought with the other silo folding and how they went to war and IT is trying to fight them off, and then everybody's like, "We're going outside," and then they all die. But like the door, like, I think in the book, like, both doors were open to some degree to get into the silo, but it's such a big enough place, like you just have to get far enough away from the door to where it like doesn't affect you. I don't know, it's super interesting how they like design the silo and stuff like that.
It's almost, it kind of reminds me of like a space shuttle, or not, like a space station or something, and they dock and they open one bay, and then it depressurizes, and then they can go inside the space station stuff. So, but
It'll be
yeah, I
interesting.
think.
What do you think on the rest of the season? What do you think is going to happen? I've got some interesting thoughts on that are different from the book, that I think they're going to go with. We'll see.
I think it depends on how long they want the show to go, and how, if they're going to do all the books, and do they need to start speeding anything up? Because the first season was like half of the first book or something, right? And then, so it's 10 episode seasons, I think. At least the first one was 10. So you should be able to, I mean, they're kind of spending a lot of time. Like, this episode could have been a little speedier and gotten a little further. But I mean, they are trying to do some world building. We knew a lot about Juliet, and like, a little bit about Walker, and I think there's, it'll speed up at some point. And I think, I don't know, with this season, there's got to be a rebellion at some point. Does Juliet come back and try to tell them about, what's outside? Can she? That's the other thing. I don't think she can come back, right? The suit
Unless the other place has more
is,
suits. That's a great question. We didn't see them on our way in.
Well, Steve Zahn's got like a suit, and he's got some, technology, but I doubt he would go, or I doubt so if he's locked himself in that room. So, do they come out, and do some people make it out, and they are able to get over to the other silo? I don't know.
That's a good question. Yeah, I think I read
So.
that they're gonna try to end the show with 4 seasons. So I think they have a pretty good clear idea of what they want to do. It's just if Apple's gonna give them enough time to do it, that'll be the question.
I mean, I think so, unless this season just bombs, because they were renewed and it's a pretty popular show. So we'll
I got
see.
you.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it'll
Yeah.
be interesting whichever way they take it, but yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think they're obviously going to go to war. Now, whether or not Juliet tries to go back to the silo, it's probably going to be at the end of this season, right? Now her dad is over there. Don't put it past Bernard to try to use her dad as leverage to try to manipulate her or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as in the first two books I've read, her dad's not a character.
Yeah.
So I'm because in the book she had like she had a partner or a love interest that I think they're trying to fill the dad role with as leverage. I don't know, but that's the way I'm gonna think it is. And then yeah, that most vocal woman from Mechanical is probably gonna wind up leading the whole thing. Now whether or not she makes it out of this alive, that's it's
Yeah.
not gonna be Walker. Walker's too old, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think there's any chance there's some kind of underground connection between the silos?
Under advice of my counsel, I plead the fifth.
Because I'm gonna say something about we'll to go back and once we get there and talk if it happens or not. But with the water and no one can swim, there's got to be something like underground. Like caves or caverns that, because if you think about an underground water aquifer and tapping into that, so there's got to be, it's not like it's got to be separate water sources at
Good
each
point.
silo. So that's my thought, but we can reconfirm that later on.
Yeah,
I
you
may
got to
have
read
to
the
just
second
pick
book.
up the books again. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to read the second book because that's like it mentions something only
Yeah.
briefly in the second book, but once you see like everything like pulled back, you'll totally understand where they're going with it. Yeah, if that's the way the show's going, I don't know.
There's,
I don't know.
yeah, there's Captain Jack Sparrow's underneath there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's Davy Jones's locker. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the show. I'm gonna keep watching it, obviously. The books are great. The first season was bangers. I'm really looking forward to see what they try to do with it over the next couple of seasons. But we're only two episodes in. I mean, there's a lot of room to grow the show. So yeah.
Yep.
Any other thoughts on Silo?
No.
Cool. So
So, go ahead.
yeah, as we are approaching the holidays, today's Monday. It's the Monday before Thanksgiving. Holidays are coming up. There's a lot of holiday movies that generally people watch around this time. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. That's also kind of a holiday movie. I've got my go-to classics that I watch. It's usually around five movies I generally try to watch around this time of the year. And then some TV shows, because that's one thing I've started to like about streaming shows is, especially when it gets
Yeah.
around this time, Max or Netflix will highlight episodes from The Office or Friends or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these are all the Thanksgiving related episodes or all the Christmas related episodes, and they're all like themed for the time of year, right? So it's kind of more fun to watch those, and they usually are some of the funnier episodes. So I do have some top fivers. I don't know about you. If you and your family do it, I mean, I can remember we watched one movie every year for Christmas for like 15 years growing up.
Yeah. So for ours for Christmas was always Christmas Story, and then like Miracle
Classic.
on 34th Street were the ones we're on, all the time. But just going back to Thanksgiving a little bit, I mean, you mentioned to me outside of the podcast, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, which is one of the only Thanksgiving movies I can think of. I'm not gonna say I rewatch it every Thanksgiving. That and like Charlie Brown, they have Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and Charlie Brown Christmas. But it's funny, just a show that I started watching, I think it was this year or last year, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they have Thanksgiving episodes. And those are like you mentioned that, and that triggered me, like, because like TV shows off, I think of The Office for their Christmas episodes and the Mo Rocca Christmas and Baraka, like Stanley calling out all the Christmases they've done. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine for Thanksgiving is always
Those are classics.
is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, like
With
Amy hosting at
Boyle
the
bringing a live turkey into to chop off its head.
Yeah.
So
And they play Boyle Bingo. Like,
yeah.
and yeah, it's like the first year. I think it's the first season they're hosting it at like Amy's house. And she, like, everybody's like throwing the turkey in the toilet. And then you see like the Sarge like dump the whole turkey in the toilet, just like
Yeah.
drop on it with his foot. Like, so
Yeah.
funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
What
are
else you got
always
for
fun.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I was actually just watching the Friends episode of Thanksgiving, one of them. And it's where, so this was back when Brad Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston, and he made a guest appearance, and he like was a like Ross's fat friend in high school, and he hated Rachel. It was fucking hilarious. That's
That's
always
great.
one. But yeah, Thanksgiving for me, it's always Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I watch that probably almost every year. Just I'm a big John Candy guy. I mean, I love Steve Martin too, don't get me
Yeah.
wrong, but I like John Candy was so funny. He's just so laughable, and I hate that he died, because he'd be
Yeah.
funny as hell today. But yeah, just
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where they're riding in the car and they split the 18 wheelers, and like Steve Martin looks over and John Candy's the devil. Like he's like in the devil's costume and shit. That gets me every time, dude. I love that shit.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
gotta watch it.
what else,
It's
what
like
other
soon.
Thanksgiving stuff is there? I don't.
I think there's more TV shows than
There's gotta
anything
be.
with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many Christmas movies, but so not much Thanksgiving besides TV shows. At least I'm sure there's Lifetime movies about going home at Thanksgiving, and then like recently divorced lady meets like the lovable zoologist who's back from like Kenya, like, and also like looking for the right woman, I don't know. I'm sure there's some
Those
Hallmark or
are
Lifetime movies.
classic. I'd love to watch them in reverse because it's about some hometown girl moving away and making her dream come true of living in the big city. I love watching them in reverse. And then I love
Yeah.
sending Jackie every year. It's like a PSA. It's like, hey girls, watch out. Going home for the holidays this year, you're gonna wind up meeting a guy from high school who now owns either a brewery or a fucking bakery or whatever,
Yeah.
and he's gonna try to sweep you off your feet. Don't do it. Like, so funny, dude. It's all so formulaic.
Yeah, it is. It's the same thing. Christmas movies. I still think my ultimate. I really like a comedy on Christmas. Like I said, we always watch like a Christmas Story that was like on all day, on TBS and TNT, and then A Miracle on 34th Street. But like I really love like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation,
Classic.
and then even like I mean there's some newer ones, like The Night Before with Seth Rogen, and
I
then
love that movie.
Office Christmas Party with Jason Bateman, and then what's oh Harold and Kumar Christmas, and of course Elf
Oh.
As well. So but there's a lot of classics, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Grinch, and
Yeah, I love
so
the cartoon Grinch. Like the
yeah.
old Grinch. Like, yeah, it's good they got the newer stuff, Jim Carrey, and then
Yeah.
the animated one that Disney, does now. But I love the original, the OG.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many, because I growing up we would have Christmas dinner at my aunt and uncle's house, and probably 10, 15 years straight we watched Christmas Vacation, probably to the detriment of my sister, who's like fucking hates the movie now. But yeah, Christmas Vacation. Yeah, I love the Seth Rogen one, the night before.
Yeah.
That's so funny. What else? Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon. That's hilarious. I quote that movie a lot.
I've never seen it. I have to check it out.
Oh yeah, like both of their parents are divorced, so they have to do like four different Christmases, and shit just gets wilder and wilder. And like they go to her mom's house, and like she's dating this pastor, and it's Dwight Yoakam is the pastor. It's amazing, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of classics. I never did get into Miracle on 34th Street, OG or the remake. Wasn't a big one for us, but It's definitely stuck around a long time. Yeah.
I think it's a big, like, I mean, my parents from New York and New Jersey, I think it's like that it was just kind of the classic.
That's fair.
Another one that I haven't watched, so I'm sure it hasn't aged very well, but like Scrooged with Bill Murray. I
Oh,
remember seeing
that.
that in the theaters as like a teenager with my parents.
Yeah.
But like, because we used to, I mean, I don't know if y'all used to do it, but like when I was growing up, the big thing to do on Christmas like day, like after, because we didn't have any family here, so it was me, my brother, and my parents. So the big thing to do on Christmas Day in the afternoon or evening was go to the movie theater. So
Yeah.
we'd always go to the movie theater and watch something. So,
Yeah, we started doing that the last couple of years, I think. Yeah. Just like, what else is there to do? Let's go to the movie. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Yeah. A Christmas Story is always a classic because TBS runs it, TNT, whatever it is, runs it 24/7 for the whole week before Christmas or whatever. I don't remember what it. That one's etched into the brain.
I still watch it every year,
Yeah, of course.
even though it's a little, may not sit off, maybe like double screening it,
And
but
I find myself, the older I get, the more I relate to his dad, who just is hilarious in that. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was Billy Madison's dad. And Billy Madison, so funny.
Hey, they're making a Billy Madison 2.
I'm not
Or
surprised.
no, Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh
Sorry,
yeah,
Happy
that
Gilmore 2.
that we're gonna have to live screen. Yeah, we're gonna have to live on. Yeah.
We go in the theater with the camera and then like
Yeah, and even OG for me, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm a big Jimmy Stewart guy, and that's probably one of my favorite movies that he's in. Love that one.
Yeah, that was another one too. Like all the old movies they would usually have on. But
I can't think of any other movies. I mean, there's a ton. Charlie Brown Christmas and all that kind of stuff, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and
I love Harold and Kumar Christmas Spectacular
that's a
because it's like they did it in 3D and then Neil Patrick Harris is like in a show and you know how he's gay in real life, but like and that shows a real like real hound like after women like
I love that they do
in the
that.
movie.
Yeah,
And the way he and that whole even in the first one he like goes to the whore he like is like at the whorehouse there and they're going through like Texas or I think it was the first no the second one. It was the second one.
like brands one of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's like well, you watch how you I haven't watched how I met my how you, I met your mother, but is he's kind of like that in that show too, right? So
Yeah, he's yeah, he
but
yeah, he's a big horn dog. Yeah. Yeah.
So
It's class, yeah.
well, anything else on holiday movies?
I can't think of anything, man. I think we're hosting Jackie's family for Thanksgiving and then going to my parents since my mom's recovering, but I don't know what you guys are doing. Wish you guys the best Thanksgiving possible. I know you guys are doing like
Thanks,
a meal prep for needy homeless people, right?
homeless people Wednesday and then Thursday with my kids and my parents and then Saturday we're doing my parents' 50th anniversary party,
That's
which
right.
or if you are still coming to, I have you down on Saturday, so
We'll be there.
it'll be good to see you. But if not before then, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, appreciate it,
I'm
man.
not going to the office till the following week, so
Yeah. I probably won't go back until July, until January 1st, so it's fine. Yeah.
I'm pretty close. I'm not going to go back too much in December,
Yeah.
so
Yeah. Yeah.
but
No, yeah.
good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Hope you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Hope the listeners, if you've made it this far, have a good Thanksgiving and good Christmas. We're going to have another pod episode before then, but tune in next week. We'll be talking more Silo. Chuck will get caught up on Shrinking. I still got to get caught up because it's not even over yet, but there's like 8 episodes out, and I'm only on 3. So we got that to talk about. So tune in next time. Check out the website. Check out the podcast platforms, check out the Instagram, and as cousin likes to say,
Mahalo.